This is Taiwan Bound, the English language podcast of Tel Aviv University. Please welcome your host, Ido Aharoni, Tel Aviv University's graduate, member of the Board of Governors, lecturer, writer, and veteran diplomat.
Welcome to yet another episode of Tau Unbound. I'm Ido Aharoni, I'm your host, and it is my pleasure to host today in our studio Yair Sakov.
Thank you, my pleasure.
It's so good to have you here. I know that you're coming from afar, but we really appreciate that you being here. For our listeners and our viewers, say a few words about Yair Sakov. He's the founder and managing director of the Entrepreneurship Center at Tel Aviv University. And let me just remind our viewers and our listeners that Tel Aviv University is ranked one of the top universities in the world when it comes to the ability to produce entrepreneurs and unicorns and so on. He comes for the job with a massive experience that includes 25 years in senior management positions in high-tech giants in the United States, such as Intel and 3Com. He held positions in Israel, and we will talk to him a lot about that. He's a lecturer at the MBA program, but he also established a venture capital fund and that manages over $100 million. That's a substantial amount of money. And he initiated and established the accelerator program, TAU, which has positioned itself as a leader in its field in a very short time. So this is quite a list of accomplishments, and there are more that I did not share with our listeners and our viewers. So welcome to our podcast. And the first question we ask every guest is, tell us about your background. How did you end up dealing with entrepreneurship, with high tech? How did you end up working for Intel and 3Com and all those major companies?
Well, first of all, thank you, and thank you for the kind words. You know, I guess I'm one of these computer kids that started dealing with computers at a very young age. And when I talk about my young age, it's a lot before the PCs were out there. So dealing with really components and building things at home, kind of like a geek style. But that kind of brought me to the idea that what interests me is really high tech. And later on, after the military service, what I'd like to do is focusing on management in high tech.
Did your military service have anything to do with entrepreneurship?
Actually, I started as a technician in air defense systems, which are very famous today, especially since the last war here, and then became a battery commander. But then I was wounded in the first Lebanon war and ended up in headquarters in Tel Aviv. And this is actually when I managed a number of weapon system development. And that kind of brought me to the idea that that's really what interests me, is to deal with project management of developing high-tech products or systems. Took an undergraduate in Technion and then an MBA at WashU in the U.S., and started a career in the U.S., spent about 10 years there, 5 years with Intel, as you mentioned, another 5 years with 3Com, which was a company in the data networking space, came back to Israel, set up a venture capital firm, spent about 7 years in venture capital, and then decided that what I really want to do is more manage than be a director. Set up a company in China, managed a company in the U.S., and over the last 20 years, I'm very involved in social causes and social ventures. And about 10 years ago, I retired from the high-tech industry and focused my effort in the social field, especially in area of what we call shared society, which is the relationship between Jews and Arabs in Israel. And with that, I was introduced by a friend, actually a professor here in Tel Aviv, to the management, and luckily I was hired to set up the Entrepreneurship Center here, and here I am.
And so when you first of all, tell us about the Entrepreneurship Center. What's in there? What are the components? What are the various sections of it?
Okay. So first of all, the Tel Aviv University Entrepreneurship Center is a cross-campus unit, and it resides actually under the president, Professor Ariel Porat. And it serves all different faculties on campus. From a vision standpoint, I think I always like to say that it is not our role to generate entrepreneurs. Our role is to teach entrepreneurship. And the distinction I make between the two is that you can't really generate an entrepreneur. Entrepreneurs are people that are born with certain traits. They're willing to take risk. They think outside the box. They don't, you know, they just run and move forward and get their things done. I cannot take a person off the street and turn them into an entrepreneur. But I can teach entrepreneurship. Entrepreneurship, it's a mindset. It's a way of thinking. It's a way of looking at the world. And it's and in addition to that, it's a set of tools that once you identify a problem, then how do I go about resolving it or creating leading a change in the world with respect to the problem that I identified? And by giving our students the mindset and the tools of entrepreneurship, I believe we are better preparing them for the world as a whole, anything from their personal issues all the way to their business world and their careers. And this is really the main objective, main role of the Entrepreneurship Center, is reaching as many students as possible and giving them the mindset and the capability to become entrepreneurs.
So are the students, so if I'm a student at Tel Aviv U, how do I gain access to your programs?
Excellent. So actually we work in two pillars, if you like. The first pillar is the academic pillar. This is, you know, what we do. We're a university. So we set up a program here that today has between 20 to 25 courses that students can choose from them and create, I would call it a mini minor. So it's not a full minor. It's a subset of a minor, but it has a name to it. And today, within almost most of the faculties in Tel Aviv, you can study entrepreneurship as part of your degree. This mini minor starts with 16 credit points and goes all the way up to 32 credit points, depending on the faculty. So, for example, if I'm studying philosophy, which is a three-year, 120 credit degree, I can decide I'm going to take 104 credits in philosophy, 16 credits in entrepreneurship, and I'm graduating with a degree in philosophy with this mini minor in entrepreneurship. And this is true in history and philosophy, in law school, in computer science, in engineering, and so forth. I don't think of any other university in Israel that offers such a broad program that you can take as part of your degree, not something in addition to your degree. So this is one route where you can study and learn about entrepreneurship. And the second route is our extracurricular activities, what we call experiential entrepreneurship. And we have a variety of programs that we offer there to students. For example, we have a set of soft skill workshops. I mean, if you Google today, what are the most required traits of a new employee in a company? First thing that will come up will be soft skills. Things like, you know, project management, team leadership, or working in a team, and presentation skills, and so forth. So we've actually done a survey with the major corporations here in Israel, found that like the six key workshops that they typically send their employees to. And we brought this here to the university, and actually the same vendors that provide these workshops at Intel or Strauss or Pauline Bank, whatever, brought them here, and students can take these workshops and obtain these soft skills. We have activities focused on special areas. For example, our program called Jump Tao, which is a social business workshop. What is social ventures? How do you create ones? What are things you need to look at, and so forth? It's a short workshop. Specifically in our extracurricular activity, we decided to focus on communities that are underrepresented in the business world as a whole, but specifically in the entrepreneurial ecosystem within Israel. And these are women and Arabs. And our two flagship programs are targeted at these two audiences. For women, we have a program called Women Entrepreneurs. It's a program targeted at students for advanced degrees, so master, doctorate, and postdoctorate. And it's a nine workshops program. That the objective of the program is to bring them to the point where they have researched and can present a validated market problem. And why have we chosen this particular objective? First of all, the main reason startups fail is because they solve a problem which is not a problem. They think they identify the market problem, but actually it isn't. And they start working, and after a long time and sometimes too much money, they realize they made a mistake. So the first thing that every entrepreneur has to do is to validate the problem that they're trying to solve. And if you look at...
And that is done through research.
Of course.
Which most young entrepreneurs don't like to engage in.
Exactly. And so, you know, why focusing on women? I think it's very clear. Why specifically on women that are in advanced degrees? Because, you know, if you think of a student here that is going for her PhD, she's probably going to spend around 10 years in academia, going to go out to the market when she's around 30 something years old. And she has no industry experience. She don't know what it is. So this actually a workshop is A, preparing her for the marketplace, B, giving her an opportunity to research a market problem versus an academic problem. And also, since they work in teams, they also learn how to work in teams. Each team get a female woman mentor that works with them. Typically, what we do is we bring Tel Aviv University women graduates that are highly experienced business women that work with this team throughout the program. So they also create a network and learn more about how to advance in the business world. So that's the women entrepreneur. Our second flagship program deals with the Arab society, and it's called the Jamtao Accelerator. It's basically a startup accelerator program. An accelerator, in two words, is helping a group of people that have an idea for a startup, basically to accelerate the process from idea to actually being able to raise funds. Typically, this process can take anywhere between a year and a half. We're condensing it to about 3.5 months with very intensive workshop. Our accelerator is considered today one of the best in Israel. It's a very deep, very intensive program. Each team gets two mentors, highly experienced CEOs of startups or EVPs at, you know, large global corporations, Tel Aviv graduates, of course, and they escort these startups throughout the way. The unique thing about this program is it's a Jewish Arab accelerator program. So we try to mix the teams with Jewish and Arab students working together towards a common goal of creating a startup. It's been a very successful program. All in all, we're now starting our seventh cohort in June of this year. Up to now, we had about 92 teams going through our programs. 20 of them has raised funds. That's over 20%. That's a very high rate of success. So this is kind of how students can get engaged with entrepreneurship within the center.
Now, I'm assuming we have many non-Israelis on the call. How can they reach out and become part of the program? Does it have to be through the international school, or can they just do it directly with the entrepreneurship center?
Good question. So first of all, our focus is really our students, our graduates, and our staff here in the university. So the basic requirement is that you be one of these audiences. And yes, you can join our activities, especially the extracurricular one, actually both, through the international school. We have some classes that we offer through the international school in English, of course, and our accelerator program is also run in English, so they can participate in either of these. And actually we are working on some agreements with universities abroad, like Manchester and University of Connecticut and others, to create joint programs around these themes.
So let's talk a little bit about the entrepreneurial spirit, because mm-hmm. you spent time in America, in Silicon Valley, and now you spent time working in Israel. Now you're in an academic setting. What would you say And this is almost a cliche, but I'd love to hear your take on it. Well, why would you say Israel has performed way above its weight when it comes to entrepreneurship?
Wow. So my opinion, you know, it's whatever it's worth. I think it comes a lot from us being Jewish. We are being, as we see even today, being attacked all the time, you know, being harassed all the time. And we need to find creative ideas to circumvent that and be successful, irrespective of, you know, the environment and the hurdles that it's imposed on us as a Jewish people. And I think over the years, Jews had to be very creative in, you know, finding sources of income, in combating regulation that was enacted against them and so forth. And I think, you know, in terms of our DNA, we have been doing this for so many years that, you know, it's part of our DNA to be creative and to look around and to find how to solve problems. So I think that's a large part of that.
And what would you say about the non-Jews that live in Israel, that what happens to them when they're being exposed with what you're describing basically as, you know, necessity is the mother of all invention, right? You're describing a situation where the unprecedented level of threat that the Jews throughout history had to face turned them into a nation of people with great resourcefulness, right? They have to survive, so they have to invent new things, and they have to integrate. Sometimes they have to protect themselves and so on. And what would you say about the non-Jews? You mentioned the Arab sector, many of them Muslims, some of them are Christians. How are they interacting with this entrepreneurial spirit?
So first of all, I think that, you know, just by proxy, the fact that they're in Israel and they're seeing how we're doing things, I think that there's a way for that inspiration and a way for them to learn. But I think this is where Tel Aviv University has a major impact. You know, we have a very large constituency of Arab students here in our campus. And the fact that we expose them to the entrepreneurial mindset and to these tools. Look, if you look at the, you know, the Entrepreneurship Center was established about 6 years ago. We spent the first year on building the infrastructure. So between, you know, in operations, actually, I guess, 4.5 years now. Over these 4.5 years, we had around 13,000 students go through our programs, either academic or non-academic. That's a huge number. Now, I haven't actually tested it. I haven't actually researched that. But I would venture to guess that at least 90% of the students never thought they had anything to do with entrepreneurship until we basically gave them the opportunity to experience that and to learn that and to know more about that. I'll say more than that, that I think that in a large number of those, we actually inspired or invoked the entrepreneurial gene that they didn't know they have, because now that they've learned what it is, said, oh, this is what entrepreneurship is. Well, I can do that too. And I think that goes, you know, to those non-Jewish, if you like, non-Jewish audiences that we have here, that we inspire them, that we give them the tools, we give them the mindset and the ability to come out and say, well, I can do this too.
Now, you know, there's an interesting question I'd like to ask you. So there's this common perception, some would say common misperception, that there's a conflict, built-in conflict, between entrepreneurial energy, entrepreneurial zeal, and long-term strategic thinking. And the people that say that are usually critics of the Israeli technology ecosystem for not being able to produce major, globally well-known, recognized companies. So we are very good when it comes to solving problems, very good when it comes to establishing startups, very good even managing them to success, but not very good leading them on a path that would turn them into massive global companies. So when you look at the list of the top 100 brand names in the world, there's not even one Israeli brand among them.
So first of all, I think that these comments were very true back in the 90s of the previous century. I think the Israel economy and the high-tech industry as a whole have grown way beyond that over the last 30 years. First of all, I think that today we do have global companies. You look at Checkpoint, you look at MDocs, you look at, well, I guess even to some extent Teva, which is, you know, even before that, but there are definitely major corporations in Israel that are well-known names. I'm trying to think of a few names. I'm running a blank right now, but there are quite a few that I probably don't remember.
Well, Palo Alto, I think, is also a big company today. Mobileye, which is now part of
Intel,
and Waze, which is now part of Google. But these are all big, big companies. But yet, when you look at Sweden, for example, it's a little bit bigger than Israel. But Sweden was able to put on the map some of the most celebrated brand names in the world. From car makers to massive retailers to electronics and so on.
Yeah, but I think that goes back to the population. Look, our key resource is really our people. And this is why I think academia is so important in Israel and our ability to educate the young generation. And, you know, I'm also teaching in an engineering faculty. And I'm always excited. It just amazed me to see every year when I enter the class and I meet these students, they're amazing. They're so smart. They're so smart young people. And it's such fun. And I enjoy so much teaching them. They observe like sponges, everything, you know, and I probably, I don't envy them because I spill so much material on them and I teach them so much. And they take everything and they create wonderful things with that. And I think this is the importance of academia, and this is the importance of Tel Aviv University in our ability to take these people, give them the tools and capabilities to become successful and eventually become successful business people. And I think that if you look at, you know, going back to your question, this is our major resource. You know, Switzerland has, you know, vast array of resources, you know, from water to others. We don't have that. We have people that are very unique. And if we know how to leverage that, either to create a company, you know, look, I don't think that being acquired by another company, it's a bad thing. You know, Mobileye became a very large company and was acquired for a huge sum, Waze the same, and probably you can name a few others that have become very large companies before they were acquired. And I think, I haven't actually researched that, but if you look population-wise in terms of how many large global corporations we have versus the size of our population compared to other states and how many countries and how much they have. I don't know if the ratio is so much against us as some people think.
Yeah, no, clearly, Israel is punching above its weight. There's no doubt about it. I think that the criticism was more about, the presence in the psyche of the modern consumer. And I think some of the criticism also relates to the fact that most successful Israeli companies have chosen a foreign-sounding name. MDocs, Checkpoint, Palo Alto, all those names, not exactly create an Israeli association. But let's talk a little bit about the future. So you shared with us this very impressive range of activities that really is catering to just about every sector, every department, every faculty, every student in the university, and every member of the faculty. What are the things that you would like to add to that incredible buffet of opportunities?
So I think one of the things we'd like to do is to beef up our educational programs. I'd like to open more classes and actually broaden what we teach today in entrepreneurship. I think we have a very strong offering for the bases, but I think it's time for us to branch out and bring some more topics, look at even in more advanced areas, and clearly, of course, AI is one of them, how we bring that and how we leverage that into entrepreneurship. So we need to build, I think we need to build some more courses. That's one area. With that, I would like to increase substantially the number of students that go through our programs, especially our academic programs. Today, we have around 700 students per year that go through the program. I'd like to get it at least to 1,500. So if you think in terms of Tel Aviv University, that's every cohort, every year of students, we have around 5,000 to 5,500 new students come in every year. So 1,500 or 1,800, around 30% of them, I'd like them to, at least those I'd like them to go through the academic program. I think that we should, broaden our cooperation with the industry. We today have some great industry partners, all the, of course, the usual suspects, Microsoft and NVIDIA and Amazon and whatever, but I'd like to get more and more involved in what we're doing here. But I think basically, I think the most important thing is to get to more and more students and, what we haven't been too successful so far is getting through the academic staff of the university and getting our professors more involved in how to take their amazing innovation and amazing new things that they research and find and how to help them turn that into something that will help overall society and make our lives much better.
Sure. And this is not part of the technology transfer company remote, right? You're talking about something entirely different. You're talking about training faculty to think like an entrepreneur.
Exactly.
And translate their innovation into workable business.
Exactly. Exactly that, yes.
And I think that that's a hugely important thing. And is there anything that our friends who are listening to us right now from all over the world, is there anything that you'd like to say to them? Especially post 10/7, when we know that there's so many Jewish kids all over the world that are afraid to go and be visibly Jewish because it's dangerous, whether it's in North America or in England or even in Australia, certainly in South Africa. South Africa became perhaps one of the most dangerous places for Jews in the world. Yeah. Is there anything that you can say to them about what your center has to offer?
Well, I think, if you look at crises that Israel went through over the last, 30 or something years, you would find that every time we've been through any crisis, anywhere from a war through a economic crisis, through a coronavirus or whatever, the engine that took us out of that crisis was the high-tech industry. And I think that for us to be successful, first of all, I would advise to each young Jewish person around the world, first of all, get education. Get your education, choose the best school to do that. And of course, we welcome you here in Tel Aviv every time. And think outside the box of how to leverage those studies to become more successful.
And I think that this is a very appropriate and high note to end our conversation because we're running out of time. I wish I had more time to chat with you.
Thank you so much.
But I think that the emphasis on education, the emphasis on choose something that you feel you're good at, because that's the compatibility that guarantees success.
Exactly.
Well, thank you so much, Yair Sakov, for being with us, the managing director and the founder of the Entrepreneurship Center at Tel Aviv University. And we would love to have you here with us again in the future.
Thank you so much. It was a great pleasure. Thank you.
And to our viewers and listeners back home, goodbye from Tel Aviv until our next episode.